health system in the besieged territory is on the verge of collapse. And also in our headlines, vote counting is underway in Turkey's municipal elections, in which the ruling party wishes to regain control over the major cities of Ankara and Istanbul. Our top story for this half hour, nearly 6 months into the U.S. Israeli genocidal war on Gaza, attacks continue all across the besieged territory, causing more deaths and destruction. According to Palestinian officials, around 80 people lost their lives in 24 hours. Most of them were killed in fresh strikes on aid seekers near Gaza City. A number of civilians were also killed as Israeli forces targeted tents belonging to displaced Palestinians in the central city of Deir al-Balah. During 3 weeks of siege on the Al-Shifa hospital, Israeli forces have killed hundreds of civilians in and around the medical facility. Some 100 Palestinians are also trapped inside the hospital while the regime has destroyed over 1,000 nearby homes. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza is approaching 32,800. Israeli forces press on with their genocidal onslaught on Gaza, leaving more deaths and destruction across the besieged territory. Our correspondent Moti Abu Mosabe joined us earlier from the central city of Deir al-Balah to give us the latest on the situation.
The Israeli occupation forces continued committing more crimes and massacres against the Palestinian people. And over the last night, the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre near Al-Kuwait roundabout after attacking and killing at least 12 Palestinian civilians of the members of the popular committees that were formed to secure and to distribute the delivery of the humanitarian needs and necessities to the people in Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza. It is not the only crime the Israeli occupation forces commit against the Palestinian, against those committees. However, it would never be the last, as the Israeli occupation forces are still insisting those committees in a way that deepens the suffering of the Palestinian people there. As you know, that on Friday, the Israeli occupation forces killed at least 17 Palestinian civilians and members of those committees in Al-Shija'iyya neighborhood after targeting Al-Shija'iyya club. Including, as you know, members of the police, of the Palestinian police in Gaza City. So these crimes is still continued with the insistence of the Israeli occupation forces to deepen the suffering of the Palestinian people and starving the Palestinian people. Here, when it comes to the western part of Gaza City, particularly the surrounding areas of the Al-Shifa Medical Complex, as you know, the Israeli aggression against that area is still persistent and continued with more airstrikes, more attacks and more killing of the Palestinian people. According to Gaza's health ministry, that the Israeli occupation forces have killed and unalived at least 400 Palestinian civilians since the beginning of this brutal aggression against the Al-Shifa Medical Complex and that area. And needless to mention that thousands of the Palestinian civilians were kidnapped and abducted by the Israeli occupation forces. And in addition to the massive destruction that was inflicted over the ceaseless Israeli attacks that targeted that area.
Moving on, several UN agencies have called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza as the death toll from the onslaught continues to rise. International organizations, including UNICEF and UNRWA, have said an immediate ceasefire is needed in Gaza to save the lives of people and provide necessary humanitarian aid. The organizations also warned about the spread of diseases. They said Gaza's health system is collapsing. On Saturday, the World Health Organization said thousands of Palestinians have to be urgently evacuated out of Gaza for life-saving health services. Polling stations have closed and vote counting has begun in Turkey's crucial local elections. Over 61 million people were eligible to cast their ballots to choose mayors and provincial council members across the country's 81 provinces. The main city of Istanbul are the key battlegrounds between the ruling Justice and Development Party and the opposition. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has described Istanbul as the national jewel and hopes his AK party will regain the city. They lost it to the Republican People's Party in 2019. It's believed that Istanbul's mayor, Ekrem Imamoglu, will be the main challenger to the ruling party in the 2028 presidential vote if re-elected. While the main prize for Erdogan is Istanbul, he also seeks to win back the capital, Ankara, that he also lost control of 5 years ago. People across the world are continuing to display their support for the people in Gaza as the regime presses ahead with its genocide in the besieged strip. The U.S. cities of New York and Seattle were the scene of some of the latest such demonstrations. It was called for a ceasefire in Gaza and an end to Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories. Of protests was held on Palestinian Land Day. That's an annual commemoration of the deadly 1976 crackdown by Israeli forces on protests against the regime's land seizures. The event was also marked in New York City, where police forces clashed with protesters and made arrests. The demonstrators torched an Israeli flag and called for an end to U.S. military support for Israel. Pro-Palestinian protests were also held elsewhere across the world, including in London and Belfast.
It was the 11th time the British capital had played host to another national demonstration against the U.S.-led Israeli genocide of Palestinians inside Gaza. Coincidentally, this march was taking place on an auspicious day for Palestinians. March 30th is commemorated as Land Day to mark the 1976 Israeli killing of six Palestinians and the wounding of scores more who had gathered to show their affinity for a land that has literally witnessed the constant shedding of Palestinian blood. In an act of solidarity with Palestine, central London showed it would not be letting up on the pressure.
And they come in waves after waves after waves, tens of thousands taking to the streets of the British capital in a very clear message to the leaders within earshot of here that what is going on inside Gaza is a genocide and it will not be taking place with the complicity of the British people.
Flash forward to this most recent attempt to ethnically cleanse Palestine of its people, and it's clear the UK is being blasted for its complicity in allowing a ceasefire motion to go unacknowledged by Tel Aviv.
We're calling it a ceasefire, but they're saying for a ceasefire for 2 weeks to end the Ramadan. That hasn't even happened yet. So the question always beckons, what does international mean? How much power does the UN really hold? How much power does our government hold to hold Israel's account? Why is our government not imposing sanctions on Israel? That's what we need. We see a genocide continuing. We see a new ICJ ruling ask for aid to be delivered. None of it's happening. Where is our government? Where are our politicians speak up for international law and international justice?
There have been millions across the world who have taken to the streets to make it clear it is the rulers who are complicit. Countries like the US, countries like the UK, who could easily stop this by just not selling arms. Stop the provision of arms. Withdraw it. And in that way, you know, Israel has no other option.
A comparatively small counter-demo by pro-Israel supporters was peacefully drowned out by pro-Palestinians. The protesters taking part in the demo had a variety of reasons why their presence on the marches mattered.
We just want to bring this conflict into the consciousness of everyone, so everyone understands what's going on here. You know, children being slaughtered, you know, women being slaughtered. The schools and hospitals just completely destroyed. You know, it's just inhumane. It's just beyond imagination.
Yeah. We have to stop this. We have to. Don't you? No one can be blind to what's happening. It has to stop. It has to stop. Showing ourselves like this, demonstrating how horrified and outraged we are. And then boycott Israel.
This has to be constant pressure. Eventually, there will come a time where we'll get what we're asking for. I think the evidence is like undeniable.
Demonstrators have pledged to keep turning out in the streets to protest against the genocide in Gaza until there's a cessation of violence and justice for Palestinians. Amina Taylor, London.
On Saturday afternoon, thousands attended a rally to support the people and the resistance in Gaza, outside the City Hall in Northern Ireland's capital, Belfast. The protesters commemorated the Palestinians' Land Day and marked the sixth anniversary of the Great Return March, when apartheid Israel slaughtered Palestinians in Gaza. The message of the rally was, We must keep marching until the genocide ends.
Make sure every Saturday and sometimes every Sunday the people of Belfast and Northern Ireland show their massive solidarity with Palestine.
The government of Ireland has recently announced its support for South Africa's case against Israel at the International Court of Justice. However, most participants and speakers were critical of Irish politicians.
Before the St. Patrick's Day, we issued a call not to entertain or legitimize Joe Biden by the largest three political parties who's going to America, Irish political parties, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. They continued in their journey and went to their, we consider that as a legitimizing of genocide Joe.
People of Belfast harshly criticized Sinn Féin's attendance at the White House in March.
Politics in general has not done enough to stop apartheid Israel. They haven't pushed for a ceasefire nearly hard enough, regardless of what their positions are.
Other activists also called out the Republican Party, Sinn Féin.
Shameless hypocrites who went to drown their shamrocks on St. Patrick's Day in Washington with genocidal Joe Biden, my Palestinians are drowning in their own blood in the rubble underneath the bombs dropped by America via Israel.
These positions of Irish politicians are not reflective of their people's support for Palestine, as displayed by new murals on the International Wall in Belfast.
To mark Land Day and the 6th anniversary of the Great Return March, thousands assembled outside City Hall in Belfast. While the support for the people and the resistance in Gaza is visible on the streets of Belfast, the speakers and participants of the march were also critical of Irish politicians and parties. They say their support for Palestine is hypocritical because it only serves their own electoral ambitions. Dieter Reinisch from Belfast.
March 31st is a pivotal date in Iran's modern history, marking the 45th anniversary of the day millions of Iranians voted in favor of establishing the Islamic Republic system. This historic referendum fulfilled the nation's long-cherished democratic aspirations, giving rise to a governance system rooted in the will of the people. Our correspondent has a report on that.
Iran commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Islamic Republic's inception, a significant event that falls on March 31st this year. This commemoration honors the momentous day when, shortly after the fall of the U.S.-supported Pahlavi regime in 1979, millions of Iranians participated in a landmark referendum. This vote effectively concluded over two millennia of monarchical rule in Iran. An overwhelming 98.2% of the electorate endorsed the formation of an Islamic Republic. Regarded as a watershed in Iran's contemporary narrative, the referendum was a manifestation of the nation's enduring quest for an Islamic democracy.
We commemorate this day because it led to the establishment of a theocratic democracy. The nation cast their ballots in favor of this divine political system to gain freedom and independence.
Despite numerous challenges since the revolution's inception, Iranians have charted a path of success through steadfastness and resolve, positioning themselves as an exemplar for nations aspiring to freedom.
Thank God, Iran is now under the magnifying glass of other countries. We have now become a role model for regional and Muslim countries, and they look up to us.
The principles of independence and liberty central to the Iranian populace's overwhelming endorsement of the Islamic Republic 45 years ago continue to be the government's defining features.
The Islamic Republic Day is widely venerated by Iranians as a day that puts on display the power of people in determining the destiny of their country. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
That's a wrap for now. Bye, everybody.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Shalom, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, March 31st, 2024. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. And as tomorrow, April 1st, corresponds with the 21st of the holy month of Ramadan, I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, express my condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. You may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. And as usual, we've received reception reports from around the world, this time from Harald Seuss from Austria, from Bala Murali from India, and from Najmuddin from Bangladesh. All of them are old and loyal listeners. So, Najmuddin, Bala Murali, and Harald Seuss, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We just wanted you to know how much we value your support and commitment to our radio. And we've received emails from around the world, this time from Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan. Here we've received an email from Lu Dacheng from China, and Harald Seuss from Austria has sent us a piece of email. Later during the program, I will read these emails. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special. Undoubtedly, visiting holy and religious places gives us a special calm and peace in the heart. For many years, Iran has been a perfect destination for Muslims from all around the world, having housed some of the most beautiful, stunning shrines in its chest. In Iran, we have many religious sites, just like the holy shrine of Imam Reza, peace upon him, in Mashhad, Shah Abdul Azim Shrine in Ray, Shah Chiragh in Shiraz, Imam Zadeh Saleh Shrine in Tehran, and so many other places. And this time, I've decided to introduce you the holy shrine of Lady Fatima Masume, peace upon her, in the holy city of Qom, which after Imam Reza's shrine is the largest religious pilgrimage site in Iran. Now, before talking about the holy shrine of Lady Fatima Masume, peace upon her, let's read a piece of email from Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan. Malik Allah Bachaya says, "Dear staff, English radio service programs play a crucial role in disseminating information about the world to listeners across the globe. Your programs serve as a vital source of news, analysis, and cultural exchange, fostering understanding and connectivity among diverse communities. Moreover, English service radio programs offer in-depth analysis and commentary on various global issues, providing listeners with valuable insights and perspectives. through interviews with experts, policymakers, and eyewitnesses, whether discussing conflicts, diplomatic negotiations, or socioeconomic trends, these programs help audiences grasp the intricacies of global dynamics. In addition to news and analysis, English service programs also promote cultural exchange and understanding. Through features, documentaries, and interviews with artists, writers, and cultural figures from diverse backgrounds, these programs showcase the richness and diversity of human experience. Overall, IRIB English radio programs play a vital role in informing, educating, and connecting audiences around the world by providing timely news coverage, insightful analysis, cultural exchange. Looks forward to hearing from you. Regards. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, to Malik Allah Bachayo from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing to us, IRIB English Radio. I do appreciate you for letting us know what you think about our programs, and it's really good to know that you have a positive view about our broadcast. Again, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, Malik Allah Bachayo from Pakistan. So please accept our electronic QSLS confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. So, I was saying, the holy city of Qom is the religious center of Iran and the city with the most pilgrims after Mashhad. The magnetic holy gem shining brightly at the center of this city is the shrine of Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her, daughter of Imam Musa Kazim, the seventh infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her, is also the sister of Imam Reza, the eighth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam whose shrine is located in Mashhad. Many believers go all the way to Qom to pay homage to the innocent lady. The intricate tile work and the picture of golden dome accompanied by the azure blue and turquoise color on the minarets absorb the soul of the prayers and grants them an unbelievable level of calmness and tranquility. The shrine catches everyone's attention when it comes to architectural beauty and the staggering design of patterns. The floral motifs under the alcoves and the impressive calligraphy and inscriptions in perfect harmony with the spirit of the place mesmerize you. The different courtyards of the holy shrine reflect several decades of Iranian history and architecture. And later during the program, I will talk about these great courtyards. Now, let's see what Lu Dacheng from China says. Lu Dacheng from China says, dear friends at English section of IRIB Radio. Hello, I am Lu Dacheng from China. I am your loyal listener. I always listen to your programs on shortwave. I know the Islamic Republic of Iran. I know it is an Islamic country. So hereby, I'd like to say Happy Ramadan to all your Muslim listeners. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, Lu Dacheng from China. Please accept our warm gratitude to you for this email, and thank you very much for your Ramadan wishes to us and to all our Muslim listeners. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. An electronic QSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to your email. So I was talking about the different courtyards of the holy shrine of Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her. It has courtyard of Sahiba Zaman. This courtyard, together with its houses, has an area of 8,000 square meters, and it has entrances on four directions. This courtyard, with its rooms together, has an area of 8,000 square meters. Its structure is designed with beautiful Quranic inscriptions written in Kufic script that attracts the interest of visitors and pilgrims to the new structure built by white cement and bricks. A beautiful pool with a new design is built in the middle of this courtyard using lightning technology. It has a nice exhibit at night. And this shrine has also Najme Khatun Shabestan, which is a prayer hall. This Shabestan is located at the bottom of the Imam Khomeini Shabestan, with an area of 8,000 square meters. It is built with a special architectural features and is used for holding religious ceremonies. Also, during pilgrimage seasons, when the holy shrine is overcrowded, it is allocated for women. There is a level difference of about 50 centimeters high in the middle part of this Shabestan as a new design that has produced a very special effect. Also, there is Imam Khomeini Shabestan. This Shabestan or prayer hall has an area of 8,000 square meters with entrances on all four sides. There are short pillars around the Shabestan where a half floor is built on them. There are also four high pillars in the middle of this area, and a low square-shaped dome is mounted over them. On the Qibla side of the Shabestan, there is a magnificent altar that is mihrab, which displays the fine taste of Iranian architecture. Also, there is the courtyard of Imam Hadi, peace upon him, and the courtyard of Imam Reza, peace upon him. In the beautiful courtyard of Imam Reza, peace upon him, there are north, south, east, and west porches. These luxurious porches, particularly the mirror porch and the pool and the waterfront in the center of the holy courtyard with the special features, renovated in their traditional form in 2011, have multiplied the beauty of this holy site. Welcome back. And I was talking about your emails, Harald Seuss from Austria, as I said earlier in the program, has sent us a piece of email. Harald Seuss is one of our loyal listeners who says, "Dear staff, I could receive an IRIB program during my trip. I have made a reception report. Please see the attachment." If my report is correct, I would ask you if you can verify it by a QSL card. I send you and all the colleagues in your English department my best wishes, best regards. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, to you, Harald Seuss from Austria. Thank you very much for writing to us. So please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So, dear listeners, today the shrine of our innocent Lady of Qom, Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her, is the cynosure of the eyes of the faithful from all over the world. While the city of Qom has become the center of diffusion of the genuine teachings of Prophet, as bequeathed by the immaculate progeny of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, peace upon them. And as tomorrow, April 1st, corresponds with the 21st of the holy month of Ramadan, I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, express my condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Dear listeners, here we've come to the end of our today's program. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah accept your du'as and worships in the month of Ramadan. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I pray all of you are well, that you are healthy inshallah, and that you are ready for putting our best foot forward in what's considered to be the greatest night of the entire year for us inshallah. Whether what makes this month special and what makes this night special more than anything else is that it is the night in which the Quran was revealed, right? When Allah says Shahru Ramadan, that Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi, it's the night in Shah, is the month in which the Quran was revealed. He could have said anything. It's the month in which God's mercy is there. It's a month because that would have been the most important thing about this month. And so the most important thing about this month is that it's the month in which the Quran was revealed. And I think that that is an amazing understanding of how God looks at the Quran, and how we should subsequently appreciate the Quran as a book of guidance for us, and as a book that can lead us to our salvation. And subhanAllah, we talked about it over the past few nights. And we know that this is the night. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Indeed, we revealed it on the night of Qadr. And I want to talk about this revelation, and relate it to our Prophet, that we have talked about in the past that there are two types of revelation, isn't there? There is what's known as an inzal and a tanzil, right? And the Surah Al-Qadr talks about both of these types of nuzul, of something which comes down. So, instant. There is an inzal, which basically means it's an instantaneous. So the Quran had an instantaneous revelation. And what we mean by an instantaneous revelation is that it means that it came all at once, right? All at once on the night of Qadr to the Prophet while he was at the cave of Hira. And this is what Allah says, Inna anzalnahu. This is anzalna, is an inzal from Allah, coming down all at once. Now what's beautiful is that it did not come in the form of ayats and surahs and sections, right? The core of the message of the Quran is one. And it's that message that came into the heart of the Prophet. And by knowing that message and being familiar with that message, whenever then he would be told to recite a verse, there would never be any confusion by the Prophet because the message was fully understood by the Prophet. Right? And so this inzal is very important, and it happened on the night of Qadr. The second type of revelation is tanzil. Tanzil comes from the root word nazzala. Right? So, inzal is anzala. They both come from the root word nazala, to bring down. Anzala is something that comes down. Tanzil comes from nazala. There's a repetition. Right? And so, nazala, tanzil, Allah says, tanazzalul malaika. So, what we understand about angels on this night is that they don't just come down once. Angels are continuously coming down on this night. Right? Till Fajr. Right? And so the second type of revelation that the Quran had was the revelation of Tanzil, which is the gradual revelation, which lasted a period of 23 years. And so if we understand that, right, how do we understand these points about Tanzil and Inzal when we look at the different stages that the Quran has gone through in revelation? This is really kind of important point as well. So we understand that there are two forms of revelation. Put that here. Now we talk about the stages that these forms came in. Okay? So obviously when we talk about Quran, the Quran is basically the knowledge of God, right? And so number one, we start with the knowledge of God. Yeah? The knowledge of God cannot be limited. It cannot be put in a place to say, here is the knowledge of God. Right? You can't do that. Because the moment you can encapsulate the knowledge of God, you have limited the knowledge of God, right? And so the knowledge of God is the knowledge of God. It is part of the essence of God, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took what was necessary for us from His knowledge and put it in what's known as the Lawhil Mahfuz or Ummul Kitab. Yeah, this Ummul Kitab is basically the mother of the books. It is the source of the Quran that you and I know today. Yeah, and so it goes from the knowledge of God, which cannot be encapsulated, to a place that is a guarded tablet, the Lawhil Mahfuz. Allah talks about this in the Holy Quran. And so the first stage of revelation of the Holy Quran is from the knowledge of God to the Lawhil Mahfuz. Yeah? Understand this. Okay? So this Lawhil Mahfuz serves as a proof. Right? So that when we go back, Allah will say, I already knew this would happen. Because the knowledge of God is all-encompassing. Right? It's all-knowing. And this Lawhil Mahfuz, whatever is in there, is not the knowledge of God. Because that would be an incorrect statement. Do you understand why that would be an incorrect statement, right? It can't be the knowledge of God. But it has part of the knowledge of God, right? The knowledge of God that is beneficial to you and I. And then still, what is in the Lawhil Mahfuz is still beyond our comprehension and grasp. And so it comes from the Lawhil Mahfuz. And now this is the second stage of revelation. Yeah? So again, be with me. First stage is Lawhil Mahfuz. Second stage of revelation is that it goes from the Lawhil Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah, the abode of honor. Yeah? The abode of honor is now the Quran has come into a worldly space. Before it was still in a heavenly samawati space. Now it has come into a worldly plane of existence that is still beyond the scope of our understanding, but which is the all-encompassing revelation that we call the instantaneous revelation that happened on the night of Qadr. Yeah? So it went from Lawhil Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah. Yeah? The Bayt al-Izzah, yeah, is what is referred to as the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Where he says, Allah talks about this in the Quran in Surah Al-Shu'ara, Nazala bihi ruhul amin ala qalbika litakuna minal mundirin. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the trustworthy angel spirit brought it down upon your heart, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah ma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, so that you may be one of the people who warn. Yeah, so that you may guide and warn the people. And then the third stage after Bayt al-Izzah. Now again, Bayt al-Izzah, we said, is the instantaneous. So when this Lawhil Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah happened on the night of Qadr. Yeah? And so now it's in the heart of the Prophet as a singular message. Yeah? This point is really important. This singular message is very important. Yeah? Because this singular message ties in with the Malakuti realm of God. Okay? And we'll come to this in a second. And then the third stage of revelation is when it went from the heart of the Prophet or Bayt al-Izzah to the tongue of the Prophet. And this is when, in the course of 23 years, Jibreel would tell the Prophet, now say this verse. Now recite this verse. Because that is now that revelation that goes from instantaneous to gradual, from Bayt al-Izzah to us. And this is the gradual stages or the three stages that the Quran goes through. It's really important for us to understand. It's a book we venerate, but we also have to understand the stages in which the book came down to us as human beings.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be
with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Palestinian children in Gaza are not starving to death because farmers had a dry season. The starvation of children is a political choice made by the Zionist regime and void by the Biden administration's complicity. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, 28 Palestinians, nearly all children, have starved to death in Gaza in recent days, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. Tomorrow, that number will increase, and the next day, it will climb even higher. Starvation is not a death of natural causes in a world that grows and produces more than enough food to feed everyone. Palestinian children in Gaza are not starving to death because farmers had a dry season. The starvation of children is a political choice made by the Zionist regime and buoyed by the Biden administration's complicity. Israeli regime authorities have continually blocked and severely restricted the entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza. So far in March, an average of 168 aid trucks have crossed into Gaza on a daily basis, far below the 500 trucks that entered Gaza daily before October 7th, and nowhere close to what is needed to prevent more children from starving to death. Very little, if any, of the aid reaches isolated Palestinians in northern Gaza, and the Israeli regime forces have attacked Palestinians trying to reach it. on February 29th, around 120 Palestinians were killed after Israel opened fire on a crowd of hungry people trying to get aid from a convoy of trucks in Gaza City in what was dubbed the Flower Massacre. Those in the crowd were desperate for a bag of flour to make bread for their families. The massacre received some condemnation from world leaders, but as usual, no one took any concrete action to hold the Zionist regime forces accountable to ensure it never happens again. The Biden administration, for its part, seems to have given up on using its influence to pressure Israeli regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to allow aid trucks into Gaza. Just a day after the Flower Massacre, President Joe Biden announced that the United States would airdrop aid into northern Gaza, a move quickly criticized by humanitarian groups as inefficient, ineffective, and widely expensive compared to trucks, which can carry much more and have been lined up outside of Rafah crossing waiting to enter. In addition, airdrops come without a distribution plan. Those who are strongest and fastest can get to the aid first, while those who are sick and weak go without. The airdrops were a public relations move from the outset, and they turned deadly when parachutes malfunctioned and the falling boxes killed five Palestinians. The irony of the United States funding both the bombs and the aid boxes falling from the sky that kill Palestinians is lost on nobody. Biden's latest plan to build a floating pier where aid can be delivered to Gaza leaves more questions than answers. How long will it take? How much will it cost? What is the distribution plan? Is it anything more than a cover to set up a U.S. military base off the coast of Gaza? For the children of Gaza, the answers will come too late. Humanitarian and hunger experts comprising the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, IPC, Famine Review Committee issued a report on December 21st, raising the alarm that 80% of Palestinians in Gaza were in Phase 4, emergency, or Phase 5, catastrophe, on the scale of acute food insecurity. The report also warned that the risk of famine increases every day as conditions worsen. That report was published more than 3 months ago, and many of its predictions have come true. Palestinians, including children, are dying of hunger. Recently, the IPC issued an updated report indicating that famine is imminent in North Gaza between now and May, and that the conditions necessary to prevent famine have not been met since its first report was issued in December. We have no time to lose. Malnutrition is a slow death affecting young children, the elderly, people with disabilities, and pregnant and breastfeeding women first. It is both preventable and treatable if enough healthy food is available and doctors have the necessary resources. UNICEF estimates that when children with severe acute malnutrition are treated, there is an 80 to 90% rate of success. In a place like Gaza, where Israeli regime forces kill Palestinians trying to reach bags of flour and severely restrict the amount of aid that enters, that rate plummets. The Health Ministry has confirmed that 24 children in Gaza have died of malnutrition and dehydration, but the official count only includes children who were hospitalized or whose families reported their deaths to the ministry. Which is to say, we don't really know the true scale of how many children are starving to death in Gaza. the healthcare system has collapsed, and with continuous Israeli regime airstrikes and ground troops occupying Gaza, many Palestinians aren't able to reach the few hospitals that are still operating. There is not enough clean water or food, and diseases such as diarrhea, which prevents the absorption of nutrients, are spreading rapidly. Genocide is not only the mass killing of a population. It also involves attacking the conditions that make life possible, sources of food, water, medicine, and more. Children in Gaza cannot wait for Biden to airdrop enough food for 2 million people or build a pier in the Mediterranean Sea large enough to accept cargo ships or whatever plan he will announce next week to demonstrate how unserious his administration is about preventing Palestinian children from starving to death. Palestinian children need a lasting ceasefire that guarantees Israeli regime authorities will permit huge amounts of humanitarian aid to enter, and they need it today.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this episode, we want to present to you an extract from the speech of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, about non-Muslims astonished by Nahjul Balagha of Imam Ali alayhi salam. It is necessary to read and learn from Nahjul Balagha. Recently, many non-Muslim intellectuals have become familiar with Nahjul Balagha. They have read the words of the Commander of the Faithful. they have learned from the manifestation of wisdom in his worlds, and they have been astonished by the greatness of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and his worlds. We should pay much more attention to Nahjul Balagha. We should learn more from its teachings. We should benefit more from Imam Ali's sea of wisdom. Nahjul Balagha clarified all aspects and provides us with all the lessons that we need. Sunni scholars have made surprising comments about Nahjul Balagha. The commander of the faithful does not just belong to Shia Muslims. All Muslims and all those who love Islam see Ali ibn Abi Talib as the peak of scholarly, spiritual, moral, human, and divine greatness. All Muslims and all those who love Islam see Ali ibn Abi Talib at the peak of scholarly, spiritual, moral, human, and divine greatness.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
One criterion is that there were seemingly two conflicting sets of characteristics in the commander of the faithful. The first one was steadfastness, resistance, and strictness. Another one was leniency, compassion, and clemency. These qualities existed in the commander of the faithful to their perfection. He was steadfast and strict in the face of every evasive course of action. In the face of oppression, oppressors, deviation from the path of God, transgression, and greed, the commander of the faithful will stand up against these matters with complete steadfastness and power. His resistance against those conditions is unprecedented to this very day. He also behaved in a completely sensitive and delicate manner when it came to divine remembrance and dhikr. He behaved similarly towards the oppressed, underprivileged, and vulnerable classes of the society.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You've guided me from all.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.